We just want more of you. We acknowledge your lordship in our lives, and Lord, we want you to take more of us and continue to have more of us, Lord. We love you so much. Lord, I ask today that as we share around your word, that there would be grace here today. Grace for open ears, open eyes, and open hearts. Lord, I ask you to help me share, but also, Lord, may you change our hearts today. Lord, as we talk about you, Lord, we ask that, our hearts would change. Lord, we believe. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says that when we see him, we'll become like him. And it's great to just take that time and think about God and, as we open our hearts, get a glimpse of him, because we'll become more like him. Okay, over the past few weeks as I've been speaking on and off, a few weeks ago I started speaking about boundaries in community, and that's because that one of our values is together, that, together we'll accomplish great things. And I just thought it would be left there, but I got asked to speak a few more times, so I thought I would continue to share about some of our values. So then 2 weeks ago we spoke about listen, which is one of our values. We're people who listen and who are, take time to dwell on what God has done. But today I'm going to talk about our first value. It's the first on our list, and it's my favourite, and it's called stable. Being a people who are stable. But if I can get Jonathan's help to flick the computer over, that would be great, so I can get my notes up. So yeah, it's our first value, being stable. And being stable is all about being confident in what Christ has done. We know he is faithful, and therefore we know where we stand. There we go. So now I looked up a definition of stable in the dictionary. So this is not a this isn't a Bible dictionary definition. This is just a computer dictionary. I don't even know which one it was. I just typed in definition of stable, and these came up. It's obviously not the stable where you keep animals. It's a different sort of stable. So here's a few points about people or things that are stable. Number one. They're resistant to change of position. If you're stable, you're not easily moved, okay? Yeah, you're strong. Number one, you're not subject to sudden or extreme fluctuation. Number three, are you enduring or permanent? Number four, consistent or dependable. And number five, not showing or you're not marked by volatile emotions or behaviour. I think that rules out most Queenslanders, I think, because I saw that game on Wednesday night, and there was definitely some volatile emotions going on there. Anyway, something you should fix. Okay, Psalm 62:2. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will never be shaken. Being stable isn't about managed behavior, okay? We're not dolphins, okay? We don't jump through hoops or balance balls because we get a fish at the end of it, okay? That's what we call managed behavior. And a lot of Christians do managed behavior. They know what works, they know what doesn't work, and they just do it because they either get a reward or they perceive there's a reward coming, or they get promoted at church or whatever it may be. That's managed behavior, and a lot of people like that. But being stable is not about managed behavior. Being stable is knowing what God has done, who he is, and what he has done for us. And so we can have an appropriate response knowing who God is and what he has done for us. So we don't respond in a certain way because we know that brings a reward. we respond because it's Christ's effect on us, and it's a natural outcome of when Christ is on us. And that's why this psalm is great, Psalm 62. And it talks about this the whole way through if you want to go home and read it. But He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will never be shaken. So I won't be shaken because I know who I am, because God has done things for me. And today I'm going to be talking about, some of the things about being stable. But when you talk about these things, you can tend to drift towards that behavior modification thing. You think, if I do this, I'll get this. I want today to be all about Christ. So even though we might talking about being dependable or consistent or not volatile, the grace comes from Christ for this. It's not our behavior. And so through it, I'm going to just be putting up scriptures that reflect about Christ, because in the end, if we, it's our first value. If we want to become people who are stable and consistent, it's Christ. And David stole my text. He talked about in communion, but here we go. We'll go through it again. Colossians 1, 15 to 17. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by Him, in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things hold together. The very fact that we are here, living, breathing and alive, is because of Jesus Christ. Right now, the reason we are alive right now and our body holds together is because Jesus is alive and seated on the right hand of God in charge. Everything created for Him, through Him. So the first on that list of definitions of being stable, the first one was not easily moved. If you're a stable person, you're not easily moved. Today, I don't want that to refer to tradition, as in like the organ not being easily moved, and you have to move it like, an inch a week to get it across the stage. That's a bit different. This is, talking about emotions and, how we hold ourselves when circumstances come against us. James says, "For the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind." In fact, I will read that whole passage. It's James 1, 5 to 8. It said, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all, generously and without criticizing." Isn't that good to know that if we lack anything, we can ask God and He gives it to us without criticizing us? Because we tend to, when somebody asks us for stuff, we tend to, even if we do give, we tend to be on the criticizing side, But God doesn't. "But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea driven and tossed by the wind. That person shouldn't expect to receive anything from God. An indecisive man is unstable in all his ways." So James is suggesting that if you're indecisive or double-minded or a doubter, you are unstable in all your ways. And one of our values is to be stable. So that means we should be people who are single-minded and decisive. And what happens with a double-minded person, and it happens to all of us, is in our head and with our tongue, we say that we want God's will in our life, right? So we say, "I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of the way of Christ." But what we actually do tends to be our own will. So you've got this battle between God's will, which we say we do or verbally acknowledge, but when push comes to shove, often we'll take the selfish route and go our own will. So that is a double-minded man, okay? Just that struggle. And that double-mindedness makes you an unstable person. And the cure for that was in verse 5, is to ask God for wisdom, or in faith. Faith is actually the cure for being unstable or for double-mindedness. It's a necessarily ingredient, and that's why the scriptures say, without faith it's impossible to please God. It says that. And so the faith in God, or, you know, that's why I'm reading scriptures about God today. It's our faith in God that causes us not to be unstable. James referred to doubt of being like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind, the water. It's funny, in the Old Testament, God also talks about an unstable person and puts that against water as well. He talks about actually one of the sons of Jacob, yeah, Israel, being Reuben. In the Genesis, he actually said he was unstable as water. And you know why water is unstable? It's because I was going to do, you know, the old, get the 15 jugs and all the water, you know, to show you, but you've all seen water before, so you know what it's like, which means if I have a cup that's round and I pour the water into it, it fills the cup, right? And if I have a cup that's square, it becomes square, and if I have a cup that's star-shaped, it becomes star-shaped, and water, whatever container you pour it into, it becomes like that. It's unstable. And water conforms to whatever circumstances are around it. So if the circumstances around water are square, it becomes square. If the circumstances around water are round, it becomes round. And a lot of us are unstable like water because we just conform to whatever circumstances are around us. So if we're in church on a Sunday, we become like that. And then if we're at footy on a Saturday, we become like those people. And if we're in business through the week and everyone's doing shonky deals, we become like that. And that's called like compromise. That's what that's called. That's called compromise. And if we act differently depending on whatever circumstances we're in, we're conforming and compromising. And a great evidence of stability is no compromise. And in a world of sliding morality, it's a great time to have no compromise, to not easily be moved. But it's hard. And there's a guy called Russell Moore. I think he's still alive, actually. He's a theologian from a Southern Baptist mob in Southern America. And this is what he said. He said, "Virgin births and empty tombs are hard to believe. Fidelity and chastity are hard to live. That's why we don't have a natural gospel, but a supernatural one." And that's what stability is all about. It's that supernatural. You know, we know God, we know who He is, we know what He's done for us, and it's a supernatural power not to compromise. He goes on to say, Jesus isn't a means to get where we want to go. He's actually a voice calling to us to take us where we don't want to go. And that's the way of the cross. And in the end, any other gospel is just it's just more marketing for a well-marketed path, which is that broad, narrow path that leads to death. We're called to no compromise. Compromise and capitulation to the surrounding culture is hardly how the Church of Jesus Christ is going to make a difference. We are called to be different from the world and to make a difference in it. And anything else is a waste of time. So, as a stable church, as stability being one of our values, we're called to no compromise, to not easily be moved, and that means when the culture is shifting beside us, we don't shift with it. We make a stand on what we believe and stick to it whether it hurts or not. Psalm 18. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my mountain where I seek refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I was saved from my enemies. We are stable when our eyes are on God. We know who God is. We know He is faithful. We know where we stand. Another attribute of being a stable is being consistent. Consistency is, you know, having the same response or the same, you know, not just jerking one way to the other. I mean, you know what consistency is. So 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. When Paul wrote to Timothy in Timothy 2, he was dying. Well, he wasn't dying, but he was about to be killed, and he knew that. And he wrote to Timothy and he said, "I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. There is reserved for me in the future the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing." I want to encourage you today to be consistent, not just on one day, and not just on 2 days, and not just on 10 years, but for your life. And a great example of this, well, I thought, I had to go speak to the year, I know, it's Jackie's class anyway, I don't know how old they are, they're about year 6 or 5, something like that, right? Sorry? 5 days. So they're impressionable young people anyway. So anyway, I go in and I'm explaining to them how in the Old Testament the same word used for work is the same word for worship. For Hebrews, that's the same word. Worship and work is the same word, which means I was just telling them that their schoolwork is actually worship to God and our jobs are worship to God. And that's why when I'm mowing my lawns or if I'm washing up, I actually consider it bringing glory to God while I'm doing that. I consider my focus is on Christ while I'm washing up or mowing the lawn, that's worship, you know, and especially when we're doing it for someone else, because God created us to worship him by helping other people. And so it's great to be able to go out and help other people with the attitude of worship at the same time. So this is what I'm explaining to them, and one of the kids sits right up straight and says, "Good, I'm going to do my schoolwork great today." I said, "Mate, no one cares what you do today in your schoolwork. People care in 5 years what you do in your schoolwork or in 10 years. Like, I have people who work for me. They're great first day. Anyone can be good on the first day. It's the people who are good on the last day that are good." And Mark Driscoll used to say that, you know, when you're married, the most important day of your marriage is not the first day. It's not the wedding day. The most important day of your marriage is your last day. Whatever happens on that last day, and, you know, it's for most of us, it's death to, you know, to death. But that last day is the most important day of your marriage, not the first one. And that's what being consistent is about. And, you know, people help in church, and I love people who help in church, but, you know, we can't be weary in well-doing. You know, it's great that you help for 5 or 10 years or 25 years, but in the end, God's calling us to be stable and consistent. And that might mean 60 years or 80 years, not just 3 months and think, well, I'm not getting recognized, I'm off. You know, no one's interested. People are interested in character and the long haul. People like Mr. Jones, who I've said before, the first day when I was 7 or 8 and we came to this church and my dad came for an interview or something with the Baptist church all those years ago, 1987, Mr. Jones was out the front whippersnippering. And he's done it every single month, here, school, Shalom, everywhere. You know, right till that, I know he's in hospital at the moment, but he's just doing it like a week or two ago. You know, and that's just what I've known. I'm sure he was whippersnippering before I came to the church, and that's 30-odd years. That's consistent. And some of that is spiritual, you know, your walk with God, and you're reading the Bible and spending time in prayer. But some of that is using your work as your worship. And I encourage you to know that, you know, I know it sounds harsh when you say, you know, 1 year isn't good enough, because it's great that people help, but it's running the race. And, you know, when you help here, it's for the glory of God. It's not for man. So, anyway, that's my encouragement for today. Sorry, consistency. I'll move on. Back to Colossians. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And it's great that, you know, it's incredible that we have scriptures like this to just dwell upon and you know, the holiness of God, and then that in turn gives us our, you know, our stability. Okay, last one on my list today is volatile emotions, everyone's favourite. you know, because, you know, no one's really exempt from this, right? A few of us have managed the dolphin managed behaviour type scenario so that, you know, when something bad goes happen, we might just be able to hold it in. And generally I'm pretty good at that at work, but on the footy field there's no dolphin-like managed behaviour. And I know it looks like a weird verse up there, right? Psalm 20, verse 7. Some take pride in chariots and others in horses, but we take pride in the name of Yahweh, our God. And I'll explain that verse in a minute and why it's up there against volatile emotions. You know, unstable people tend to have excessive emotional mood swings without good reasons. In a sound mind, emotions are guided by true observations about reality, where unstable people seem to have skewed perceptions or no rudder, as we like to say, you know? Just a boat, just, you know, no rudder, no direction. Skewed perceptions, where at least a sound mind might, they should have true observations. So even if something bad happens with their mind fixed on Christ, they're sound, right? So unstable people with the volatile emotions tend to be insecure. And without a deep root of knowledge and trust and emotional satisfaction in God's sovereign grace. So without, you know, a deep trust in God, they draw an excessive amount of security from circumstances. So unstable people or people with, you know, on the right on one scale, the people with volatile emotions, they draw their security from circumstances, right? So that means there's a huge reliance on outward things. Material possessions is a big one, obviously. Money, job, career, fashion, beauty, relationships, you know, especially for young people. Young people draw a lot of security from their relationships. Outward things. And if you're unstable, you're also vulnerable to anything that remotely looks like criticism or disapproval or rejection. So these are all outward things coming in, okay? What other people think about you, what job you may or may not have, what clothes you may or may not have, what friends you may or may not have, what possessions. So what that means is you may think you're secure, but if you get some bad news or you lose your best friend, you know, as circumstances change, your emotions will swing wildly, like they'll be volatile. And that's because you're resting all your things on outward things, okay? You understand that?
Yeah.
So, and yet we're called to be of sound of mind and stable, which means to put our hope in Christ. And that's why I've been reading all these scriptures between all these points on who Christ is and what he does. You know, he's our rock, our redeemer, our salvation. And as you become more stable, you know, you won't react to... it's hard to explain, but I know in myself, like you'll occasionally get a bit of bad news, right? I know just a few weeks ago, like in business, you'll get a piece of bad news where a big customer's leaving or something like that, and it makes you feel real down, right? For some reason, you think your whole world's falling apart. I don't know why. But so big customer's leaving and you think, ah, and I know that just consumes your mind for the rest of the day. And because I don't actually work in my business, I'm supposed to be up here thinking about other things, and you get a text or an email and suddenly your head's in it. You know, that's a volatile emotion. You know, it's just like your head's being dragged away. So what I do, and it's a hint for everyone here, if something comes in and suddenly your head's in another space, I go down to that little first aid room. See, there's a reason we have a first aid stick on that room. And you go in and I either listen to praise worship or listen to God or pray for, you know, 5 minutes, and you are a completely different person. And when Barry Maracle was here, he said, he was talking about, you know, the enemy attacking and praise being a great weapon. The Bible says that God lives in the praises of his people, okay? So if you're feeling oppression, if you're feeling attack, if you praise, that's where God lives. God lives in the praises of his people. And if you get there, you're with God. So after that 5 minutes in there, I come out and the customer hasn't rung back or anything like that. They're still done. But it's not an issue. It really isn't. Because when your focus is on Christ, what Christ has done for you, you know, customers come and go, people come and go. You know, sometimes that's good, sometimes it's bad. I know bad stuff happens, but the focus needs to be on Christ. And you know, you have to get your security and your stableness from Christ. And I know none of that offered a real solution except for praise, but James, back in our first verse, he offered the solution, which was, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God. So it's very, very simple. And in that same passage, James says, God gives grace to the humble but resists the proud. So the key to stability is humbleness before God, asking God, just quieting yourself and asking for God to give you grace and wisdom and everything you need. My last slide doesn't want to come up. So that's right. My last one I'm talking about are storms. Okay? Because when we're talking about... There it is. It's there now. When we're talking about being stable, everyone knows, everyone's mind goes to that one story, the parable in the New Testament about the wise and the foolish man. No notes either. So the wise and the foolish man, and that's in Luke 6, I think. And we all know the story, right? So there's a wise man who built his house on the rock, right? And there's a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the interesting thing, the Bible doesn't say when the storm came and hit the foolish man, these things happened, his house got washed away. What the Bible says is when the storm came. So there's no ifs for storms. I'm just letting you know this, okay? Storms come. And that's life. And storms come. I don't know, it's even kept the last verse up there. That's great. So storms come. And, you know, even in the Psalms, we read through the Psalms, and there's a verse in the Psalms that says, you will have no fear of bad news. And a lot of people seem to take, great, no bad news. But the Bible doesn't say that. It says you'll have no fear of bad news. So things happen, life happens, storms come, and whether we're wise or foolish, or whether we're stable or unstable, all determines on whether our house stands. Okay, and in that particular parable, and I'll just say in that parable wasn't talking about a Christian and an unbeliever. These are two people who are building houses, and all, you know, all through the New Testament, building houses is often a picture of the church or the Christian life, or like another story, Jesus says, no one starts to build a tall tower without considering if he has enough materials to finish it, and people will mock him if he doesn't. So all through the New Testament, there's many references to building a house and it being a Christian life. So he's talking a reference to two Christians here, one who listened and obeyed to God's word, and one who listened but didn't put it into practice. Okay? And the person who listened and put it into practice was the wise man, and his house stood firm. So I just want to give you the encouragement today that storms will come. I'm not wishing them on any of you, but I know from sharing in most of your lives that things happen. You know? And what we need to do is have our eyes focused on God. Otherwise, we do the things that men do. And it's what Adam did from day dot in that garden, right? When he sinned, you know what he did? First thing he did was he hid. Okay? And one of my favorite sayings is, you don't solve a hard problem with a weak solution. Okay? Hard problems, hard solutions. Okay? So, but Adam hid. He was solving a hard problem with a weak solution. The second thing Adam did was he blamed God. He said, it was your serpent that you put in here. Right? That's what he said. It was your fault. You put the serpent here. He deceived me. And the third thing he did was he blamed somebody else. He blamed Eve. Right? And then the fourth thing was, wasn't really, he departed. God, you know, put him out. And, you know, men and women, I guess, we tend to do that. We hide, we blame others, we run. And just say, stable people don't run, okay? The problem with running is every new city you go to, every new location, every new church you go to, the same problems crop up. That's just life. And that's because the problems aren't with where you are, the problems are in you. So whether you go to, whether you hide, wherever you run to, it's just going to happen. And until you sort yourself out with God, there's no point hiding or running. So I call you today to be stable and humble, listen, pray to God, ask for his wisdom. And I find not only praying, but can I strongly suggest that you read the Bible every day, preferably out loud. I started listening to a podcast out loud every day a few years ago, and I can honestly say that has changed my life forever. And all it is 20 minutes of the Bible every day, and you wouldn't believe what a difference it makes to how you think. And if you want stability, and if you want to know who God is and what you can trust in, start reading the Bible out loud and getting the Word of God, which is out there floating on your bookshelf, get it inside, because it'll make a big difference to you.